Greetings to you conversationalists all across the fruited plain. Welcome once again to the most listened to radio talk show in America, the Rush Limbaugh program on the Excellence in Broadcasting Network, program emanating from high atop the Excellence in Broadcasting building in New York. But as long as I'm here, ladies and gentlemen, it really doesn't matter where here is. And are you people in for a special treat today? Once again, ladies and gentlemen, television cameras have invaded the EIB studio. Why are television cameras here? I'll tell you why they're here. Television cameras are here, ladies and gentlemen, because they represent the Pat Sajak Show on CBS. As you people know, I have been asked to save the CBS television network by hosting the Pat Sajak Show on Friday, March 30th. They have sent cameras to capture excellence. Why have they asked me to save the network? Because, ladies and gentlemen, I am good. Why am I good? Because I am documented to be almost always right, 95.9% of the time. Why? Because I am hardly ever wrong. Ladies and gentlemen, Rush Limbaugh.
WGPR TV, Channel 62, Detroit.
For those of you at home, not everyone stood up. And yet they were applauding, so we're halfway there. Greetings, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Pat Sajak Show. My name is Rush Limbaugh. It's R-U-S-H. It's in a hurry. L-I-M, as in maternity, B-A-U-G-H. Who am I? What you just saw was true. I am. It's not even close. The most listened to radio talk show host in America, after being on the air on a national show for only 20 months. Is this an accident? No. Is it the result of strategic planning? Yes. Is it the result of talent? Absolutely. Is it the result of luck and good fortune? Actually, it is. Now, at the same time, while I am the most listened to radio talk show host in America, and it isn't even close, there are still probably many of you in this audience tonight going, this. I mean, we have some cards from the audience tonight. Many of them said, who are you? We thought we were coming to see Pat Sajak. You will know who I am shortly. It won't take very long. I am heard on right now 212 radio stations across the country. A year and a half ago, it was 55. And if I am not heard on a station in your city, how unfortunate for you. But it's only a matter of time, because soon I will own the entire country in a radio sense. Now, what is it that I do? What do I do that has resulted in me being asked to come here tonight and save the CBS TV network? What I do, ladies and gentlemen, is represent, and this is my honest perception of it, what I do is represent a group of people who aren't heard from very much or portrayed very properly in most of the major media today. The average, normal American guy and his family. I travel the country every weekend. Last year, 45 out of 52 weekends. I see and meet and talk to the people who make this country work. I was born in the Midwest. I have what I consider to be traditional, good old family values. That is why I am so well able, so easily able to relate to the masses. I, for example, know beyond a shadow of a doubt, with more confidence than anyone else, why a Northeastern liberal will never be elected president of this country. I also know why Ron Kovic, for example, decided not to run for office here in California, because this country does not choose its leaders based upon people who have movies made about them, which in essence criticize the country. Proud to be an American, stand up for it all the time, and celebrate that fact. I also do it with a lot of fun and a lot of humor and a lot of entertainment. And all of this, everything goes right tonight, and it usually does when I'm doing it. You'll see classic, countless examples. Let me, for example, just show you. My nickname, by the way, is Laser. Rush Laser Limbaugh. You know why? That's because I have the unique ability to take the opposing point of view, which in most cases for me is liberalism, and just nuke it. Just laser it out of existence without very many words. That's how good I am. It is shocking. It is frightening how good I am when I get on a roll, and I sense that I'm on a roll now. Let me, by the way. Something you should get used to tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I have several addictions. I am addicted to self-praise. I can't stop it. There are no self-praise addiction rehab centers. I'm addicted to it. I can't stop it. I'm also addicted to table pounding when I feel passionate about it. Somebody just gets started, I can't stop pounding the table. There are no table pounding rehab centers either. Now, how can I give you an example of what I do? Let's see. Just pick something out of the newspaper, holding it here in my formerly nicotine-stained fingers. Guess what? You know the ozone hole, South Africa, or South America, South Pole, Antarctica. A lot of factories down there, a lot of automobiles, a lot of pollution. Ozone hole shows up every now and then down there. Guess what they just discovered, my friends? They just discovered a volcano down there that's putting all kinds of CFCs, chlorofluorocarbons, into the atmosphere. That's why the hole is happening down there. I do not believe we're about to destroy the planet, and I don't believe we need to change our lifestyle to do so. Also, I, my friends, am angry sitting here tonight. Something the studio audience does not know has happened. The people at home do. When we come back, I'll share with you what has happened and tell you about it. Thanks for showing up tonight, folks. A great show is ahead. Stay right where you are. We are coming back with a whole lot more. Global warming. I am Rush Limbaugh. This is the Excellence in Broadcasting Network.
What?
Not now, I'm busy.
Thank you. Just a little sample of excellence in broadcasting the radio, something I haven't mentioned to you yet, and I want to. My friends, I am documented to be almost always right 95.9% of the time, and I'm sure during the course of broadcast that will go up. These, ladies and gentlemen, are Idaho potato flakes. There. This is an Idaho russet potato. This is Molly Yard. Left-handed wave. This is Molly Yard of the Now Gang, the National Organization for Women. Note the tongue sticking out. I'll tell you why the tongue is sticking out. As you know, there's been a controversy brewing all week, ladies and gentlemen, regarding the Idaho abortion bill. The most restrictive abortion bill written in America. And the governor of Idaho has been agonizing all week over whether or not to sign the bill. He has been subjected to the pressures of an economic boycott begun by Ms. Yard here, who asked all in her crowd to boycott Idaho potatoes. And this is a typical example of how these people go about it. Harm people who have nothing to do with the issue. The Idaho farmer. I've heard people say that it was about the potato, this boycott, but it wasn't. It's about the potato farmer. The news that I got just before coming out to start this excursion into televised excellence. The governor of Idaho has vetoed the bill. Yeah! You were the first woman up. You are obviously very happy about this.
I'm quite happy.
You think that bans and economic boycotts like this have a role?
I think women's lives are more important than any potatoes. You understand that? You understand that?
This is not about women's lives.
It's not about women's lives.
Calm down.
With the blood of women flowing
calm
in the streets.
Down. That's not what this is
That's
all about.
What it, is
it has
why.
Nothing
you don't
to
know
do.
What it's about. You'll never have a baby.
It has nothing,
You'll never
madam,
be pregnant.
Madam,
you'll never have to have an abortion.
Madam.
Yes, Rush.
You need not react that way.
I can react anywhere I want.
You
want to
have?
Well,
you
want
to have?
At the beginning
it
here.
Is America, and you're,
That's
you're
right.
feel you feel free to speak this way.
And I am.
But I don't think this is a proper thing. What is he saying, sir?
That she's going to keep speaking that way.
That's right.
She has her right to speak that way.
And note that you're on national television doing
yes.
it, and nobody's stopping you. So why are you so mad?
Why am I mad?
Yeah.
Because women are dying every day all over the world because of people like you. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
People with your attitude.
I have.
Be ashamed of yourself.
That's right.
We know you want us to do it, and you think you're going to improve your ratings, but we are going to be wherever you are, and we're going to denounce and expose you.
It's over for you, Rush. It's all over.
If CBS
it's...
wants to make money off of you, we'll boycott them as well.
Now.
Come back to the radio, Rush.
Now, you see.
You don't even believe in what you say.
Now, wait a second. No.
You just want
sir,
to get on TV.
Sir, have we met before tonight? You have no idea what I say, if I mean it or not. You have just called me a liar.
You are.
I am not a liar, sir.
You are.
You are.
And you got
you are
blood
reacting.
On your hands.
I have no blood on my hands. I have never killed anyone. I have
you
never taken
hands
anyone.
Of yourself.
My words I do not
it.
Kill.
Yes,
you know.
Your
you
words kill because you incite people to kill.
He's entitled to insult.
The point that I wanted to prove here by coming into the audience, people who have no idea who I am. Are saying that I am affecting life in this country murderously with my words. I'd like to point out that my attitude on this happens to be in the majority.
Oh.
It does. Now look, you know, when I came out here and started the program, I said we wanted to have a little fun tonight.
You want to have fun.
I want
to
have fun with our lives.
You know,
I am not here. I have all hold it. One at a time. Hold it just a sec. I have already made a name for myself. Well, sir, look, we're going to try to get control of this. I want to demonstrate with just one bit of news how a group of people try to silence. You see, my friends, here's the point that all of this demonstrates. Here's the point. I have attacked.
Had his chance on the radio and he blew it.
I have attacked personally. Ideologically, no one in this audience. All I have done is show up tonight.
Oh, you've done
there is now a movement trying to shut me up. I have been the epitome of decorum. And let's take a break now. We'll come back with more right after this message. Don't go away. I am Rush Limbaugh on the Excellence in Broadcasting Network. My friends, as long as I am here, it doesn't matter where here is. Come along.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Last November, I got a phone call from Mark Goodson Productions in New York City. They said, could you come by, and we're thinking about redoing To Tell the Truth. We'd like you to come by and be a panelist on a little run-through. Wasn't even really on videotape or on a pilot basis. Just, can you come by and try us? I said, sure. And I was running late. I got caught up in traffic in New York City on the way over, and I got there actually about a half hour late, and I hustled in, and they sat me down next to some people. I didn't even have a chance to check out who they were. They had been there already and had been working. And the only person I recognized was Ahmad Rashad. And after they explained to me what was going on, I had a chance to take a breather. I sat back and I looked to my left. There was Sidney Biddle Barrows. And there on the right was Erika Jong. And I'm sitting there saying to myself, oh, look to the left and there's Sidney Biddle Barrows. I had seen Sidney Biddle Barrows on television I don't know how many times. And I'd always been intrigued by her. Here I am sitting next to her, not even knowing it's going to happen. I noticed in my mind how attractive she was. And I was smitten with her. I must admit it, I was. Now, most people, when that situation arises, most men would get her phone number if they could, then call her a couple nights later, ask her for an adult beverage or dinner. I didn't. I waited till tonight to do it on national television. Sidney Biddle. Have a seat. Now, let me tell you what has happened. And I mean, I told this whole story on the air the very next day, running into you, because I think your skin is beautiful. I mean, I do. I think you. I was totally taken with you. And I was sitting there trying not to show it because that's not cool. And I went on the air the next day and I talked about this. Now, I'm recognized as a very conservative, the epitome of morality and virtue kind of person.
You're trying
well, that's where I'm leading. A man with whom you could and would totally trust your wife, your daughter, your kid overnight in a Motel 6 while you're out of town, that kind of thing. No harm. And I happened to mention that I had been favorably impressed by you. I started getting hate mail. You are not being a true conservative. Why, you're interested in a woman who has gone to jail for selling women and sex and so forth.
So much they know.
Well, they said you've been arrested and you've been in jail and that kind of thing. And I said, well, these people are taking it awfully seriously. So I let it go, worried about my image and so forth. And then your next book came out. And I'm looking at the book, and it's got a bit of advice, etiquette, manners, Mayflower manners, how to avoid showing favoritism in a menage a trois. is something you know.
About?
Well, that's...
I did a lot of research for this book.
What kind?
Well, you know, but it's a chapter on how to behave at an S&M club, and the chapter at a party at an S&M club versus a party at a private home, of course, and the how to properly use an escort service, the correct manners.
But do you do this stuff?
Use escort services?
No. But I mean, do you? I mean, this is getting awfully personal. But do you participate in menage a trois?
No. I did once to see what it was like. I didn't like it.
But showing favoritism in one is something I would not even consider as, you know, how do you avoid how do you avoid showing favoritism in the menage a trois?
I forget what I wrote now. How do you avoid, well, you just pay equal attention to everybody.
But everybody has to pay equal attention.
Well, there's only three of them. It's not really that difficult.
Well, I know, but
you've got two hands, two.
Okay, how's this? Do you have a boyfriend? Or do you have a steady person that you date?
Not really.
Have you ever been married?
No.
Do you want to be?
Who would marry me?
Well.
Can you imagine taking me home to your mother?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I would.
You take me home to your mother?
I would. I absolutely would. You say you've not done any of this stuff. You've just researched it.
I've done some of it.
I mean, there are a lot of people who've researched it. Yeah, but you haven't done any of the real bad stuff.
You don't know that.
Well, you're trying to say that you haven't. Now, if you say that avoiding showing favoritism, menage a trois, and all of how to behave in an S&M and how to think, what kind of people do you expect to attract as friends? Seriously, I mean, this is
people with great senses of humor, sense of adventure, real joie de vivre.
Joie de vivre.
Yeah, not the kind of person that gets
people
up in the morning
in,
and puts
Rio
their
Linda,
little
California. That means Anyway, well, look.
The kind of person that tries to get through the day without anything bad happening to them is not the sort of person that would be interested in me.
Have you, seriously, has your personal life or your business life or your happiness suffered because of the things that you've done, writing the book, having the call girl service? Do you regret any of it?
No, I really don't.
Good. Very good. We have to cut away for commercial. We'll be back in just a second, folks. Don't go away. Stay right where you are. More Right on the Line. For the youth of America, or anybody else needing guidance for that matter, I am Rush Limbaugh.
You need guidance? Follow me.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen, to continue our effort here tonight to save the CBS television network. My name's Rush Limbaugh. Sidney Biddle Barrows sitting to my right. It's a good side to be on. Folks, all over the country, great, traditional, normal, wonderful Americans are celebrating this program taking place tonight. There are parties all over the country. One such place is in Columbia, Missouri, the home of the University of Missouri, the Mizzou Tigers. Thousands have jammed into a bar there just to watch this show. And we got some videotape a moment ago of something special they did just for this show. Let us now go to it, Columbia, Missouri, and the Rush to Rush party in Columbia. Take a look. Ah, yes. There you have it, my friends. The heartland of America. Missouri is my hometown, and thank them very much. They're going all over there in Fresno, California. They're happening all over the place. Now, I also am told that there was such a demand for tickets to get into this show tonight, there wasn't room in this studio for all of them. There is an overflow. They've set up an audience area in the overflow. My people have come to see me. I'm going to go down and see them. Sydney, would you go with me?
Sure.
I'm sure they'd love to see you. I will follow you. Always love the women's movement and walking behind it. We'll be back, folks. Have a good time. This way. We have quite a walk here. It's all the way down the hall.
It's the first time we've ever been alone together.
Right, would you like to go to dinner tonight after the show?
Just you and me?
Yeah, it might be some other people, but I mean, it could be that way later on.
Oh, my. Well, sure.
Oh, right. Can I also, I'm a very honest person.
Oh, good.
I really am. I mean, I made a problem to you.
No.
We have a little ways yet to go here. They have requests for tickets from 10 states.
No kidding.
Yes. And they didn't have room in that studio for all of them. They know these people will be ecstatic to see us.
Where are we going?
Well, it's just right.
Okay. It's a very long
way. I never walked this far in New York. No, that'll take half an hour.
Really?
Here we come. And there they are.
Nice to see you.
Thanks very much for coming. I appreciate your coming.
Pleasure.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Look, you all don't have a chance to be in the main studio, and so I wanted to come here and see. I'm flattered you all came. Anybody have anything you'd like to ask? Any questions for Sydney or anybody? Yes.
Yeah, I have a question. Since I was not able to get in to the main studio because one of the hecklers took my seat, I was wondering if you had any extra tickets for the party at the Hyatt tonight.
You know, the party at the Hyatt, I understand later this afternoon was totally sold out.
It is sold out.
Is it totally sold out?
Yeah.
There just, I'm sorry, there just isn't any more room, but I'm flattered that you'd want to come. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Say it again.
We love you.
She loves me.
We love you, Rush.
Thank you. Yes, madam.
Rush, if you're not really a mean person, why did you show Molly Yard as a potato? Would you like that? Would you feel good about that? Potatoes are, they taste good, but...
You know, it is apparent that this is something that I'm going to have to deal with. You know, I'm prepared to deal with this. I'll answer any question somebody has one-on-one, but I'm not going to sit around and have my answer choked off by invective comment from people. You want me to answer the question? Why did I portray Molly Yard as Potato Head? Why should Molly Yard be given unchallenged access to the media, madam, to try to destroy Idaho potato farming? Why is that justified in your mind?
Molly Yard can speak as she wishes in any way, and Molly Yard didn't depict you as a potato and make fun of you.
That's right.
And say anything about, for example, the fact that you're overweight, which is, there's nothing wrong with that. So it's okay if Molly wants to do what she wants to do.
But the problem is that while Molly Yard may not have insulted me personally or made fun of me, Molly Yard supports things which offend me. Molly Yard supports efforts that offend my sensibilities, and all I'm doing is answering them in kind. We have to go to commercial break. Back with more. Sydney, thanks very much for coming. I really have had a treat meeting you. It really has been. Thank you so much.
The Pat Sajak Show, sponsored by Coast Soap, in two invigorating scents. Coast. Feel alive with Coast.
Thank you very much. We are back. My friends, we want to go back. Artie, can we go back to Columbia, Missouri, where they're having this big, wonderful... There they are. Columbia, Missouri. Good to see you folks there. They're having a big Rushes On party tonight, celebrating this program tonight. Over 1,000 people gathered there for this bash, and that's just one of many that's happening around the country tonight in celebration of the program. We have with us, ladies and gentlemen, has joined us now on stage, Candace Irving, who is, what is your proper title? The product marketing manager for Mattel, is
oh,
that
it's,
right?
Oh, it's kind of complicated. Close. That's enough? Close enough, right?
Now, the reason I asked to see you here tonight is because there is a major issue facing the nation today, and that has to do with women in combat. There are a lot of people who favor that as a change. And it is not yet law, but there are people trying to make it law. Yet, I noticed that... saw a picture in the paper, Barbie has already been outfitted for combat and so forth. And I was wondering, I saw this picture here of Barbie standing in front of an F-16, ready to, let me see if I can hold this up, we can zoom.
Is it pink?
Well, I don't know, it's a black and white photo, but it's not an F-16, it's an F-18 Tomcat. But my question on something like this is, are you just trying to, in selling this stuff, relate to what you think customers want? Or is it you're trying to influence what people who play with these dolls will someday want to be?
Well, it's a very interesting answer. One of our largest customers at Mattel is the Armed Forces, because they have PXs all over the world on all the bases. And they came to us and said, you know, we have lots of little girls living with their families on the bases, and could you make us some special dolls? And we did.
So the Army asked you to do this?
Absolutely.
So there's nothing behind all this other than trying to satisfy a market need. Is that right?
That's primarily the reason. You know, every little girl, the little girls that live on bases and their parents are obviously in the military, that's a role model for them. So we make special dolls for a lot of our customers, and these are the ones that we made for the Armed Forces.
How long have you been selling them this way? How long has Barbie been outfitted for combat, so to speak?
Well, we introduced Army Barbie, which is the one on the floor. Army Barbie, that's her name.
This one?
This one right here.
This is Army Barbie?
This is Army Barbie in 1989. And this
year... looks like a cocktail outfit.
Well, you know, it's very interesting, and we worked with the Pentagon very closely on coming up with our outfit. And, you know, we had to make...
You did?
Yes, of course. The Pentagon and toys business, the two most top secret businesses in the world. But we did. We worked very closely with them on the outfit, and they asked us to remove Barbie's diamond ring and to cut her hair, and we tried to get as close as possible.
Now, what is this?
That's Air Force Barbie. She's new this year.
That's just the one in front of the jet plane. Mm-hmm. Now, which of these is the top seller of these? What is this? Pink, hot pink.
Well, of course. I mean, Barbie couldn't let her friends come on without coming on in pink, too.
Man. She's a flight attendant, right? No. Or is she a pilot? I'm sorry. Oops.
She's a pilot.
The pilot. Now.
She's a pilot. Okay.
I'm trying to learn. See, one of the areas, ladies and gentlemen, in which I have a noted deficiency, and I'll admit this because honesty is the hallmark of my existence, is relating to and understanding women. Now, I naturally would look at this and assume but I'm trying to do something about it. That's why I'm having Candace here come to the show. I would assume flight attendant, but I am now stand corrected. Now, let's get to Ken. Let's get to... Ken, let's
put Barbie there. Here. You do that very well.
Well, now... This is Ken as a flight attendant?
Well, he can be if the little girl chooses, but he's Barbie's co-pilot.
He's the co-pilot. All right, so... Now... How much does Ken sell compared to Barbie?
Actually, it's about one Ken for every four Barbies.
Is there as much concern or interest in Ken in the purchasing market as far as what Ken is represented as being?
Well, Barbie really is the focal point because little girls relate to her more because they're going to grow up to be big girls. And how Ken fits in is their ideas of what it will be like to grow up and go out on dates or have male friends or whatever. So while Barbie's the focal point, Ken certainly is right along there with her.
Now, let me go back to a previous question I asked you. You are in charge of marketing for the Mattel dolls. Are you trying to influence? You know, there's been this argument about little girls played with dolls when they were growing up and little boys didn't, and that's why they turn out differently. Is there a conscious decision on the part of people at marketing at Mattel to try to change this? Or is there perhaps some secret research that might be going on to see if this actually can be proven?
It's so simple. Children tell us what they want.
How? Do they buy it?
They buy it. We do a lot of marketing research with the doll, and we have children come in and play with her, and we have moms test for preference. Would we rather have Barbie in a pink flight suit or in a green flight suit? So we really get all our research and our input from the market that buy her.
Is the sale of Barbie, is it continuing to increase market share and so forth? Is it going up?
Barbie had her best year in 1989. We sold more dolls in 1989 than any other
year. And what percentage of them were the military Barbies?
Actually, a very small percent. Those dolls are considered to be a special market doll, and they're only produced in like hundreds of thousands versus millions like the other ones.
Now you are going to have a Barbie summit.
Yes, we are. We're very excited about it.
You're going to have a Barbie summit, delegates from over 30 countries around the globe.
Correct.
Participating in a three-day conference. These dolls talk?
No, of course they don't
talk.
What's
the purpose of the summit?
The summit, actually, Barbie really has gotten socially conscious in the last couple of years. Last year in 1989...
Doing fine.
In 1989, we introduced UNICEF Barbie, and UNICEF Barbie, part of the proceeds from the sale of that doll went to benefit UNICEF.
So could we say Barbie's getting political? Barbie's getting into politics.
I don't know if Barbie's getting into politics so much as she's getting into expanding children's consciousness about the things that are around them.
Okay.
I wouldn't say that she's a Democrat or a Republican or an independent. She really doesn't have any party because that's left up to the little girl. That's, you know, if her family's
good
Republican, that's
Candace,
what she
thank
do
you
too.
For coming. I
My
appreciate
pleasure,
it. They're
Rush.
Telling me we got to go.
Thanks.
Wish we didn't. I've enjoyed the conversation.
Okay.
We'll be back in just a second, folks. Don't go away. We're coming right back.
Thanks.
As one of the best talk show hosts in the world, I am Rush Limbaugh, a man with whom you could and would totally trust your wife your little girl, regardless her age, and your little boy. Overnight in a Motel 6, while you're out of town on business or whatever other excuse you give. We have a number of people we asked to fill out question cards, everybody, when they came in. And I have a couple here that are somewhat intriguing. Is Dar Hawthorne in the audience from Hollywood? Dar? Do you think that tobacco company sponsorship of sporting events and motorsports should be limited by government? What are your thoughts on it? You have any thoughts?
Absolutely not. I feel that advertising should be for everyone, and you should be able to choose which things affect your life.
Yeah, you know, I tell you, there's a lot at work on this. There's more to this than just the ban of the sponsorship of sporting events and other kind of things. The tobacco industry is under siege because it is considered to be a dangerous industry and so forth, but it's still a legal substance. And if as long as the government has not proclaimed it to be illegal, the free market ought to rule in something like this. And the attitude that people have, the thing that bothers me the most about it is everybody thinks government is better at making decisions for individuals than individuals are. This has a much deeper root than just sporting events advertising. There's a big move on now to remove advertising of tobacco products and alcoholic beverages and so forth from specific neighborhoods in America. Not all, just specific. And more often than not, it's minority neighborhoods. And the Secretary of Health and Human Services recently came out, Louis Sullivan, and said that we've got to get the Camel ads out, we've got to get some of the beer ads out and so forth.
So
but
they're capable of making decisions.
Right, it's an insult. I've never understood this. The very people,
really
the very people who claim to have the best interests of these people at heart are the very people who have no faith in their ability to make decisions for themselves.
I've never smoked and I'm pro-choice.
Affirmative action. Absolutely. Affirmative action is a good example of this. A lot of people think affirmative action is a wonderful thing.
Yeah!
But ultimately, wait just a second. Ultimately, affirmative action is an insult. Sir, please sit down. We'll get to you in good time. Sir? I am not responsible for your behavior.
That's right.
Issues with them, it's impossible. We'll take a commercial break and we'll be back and try to continue this again. Don't go away. Studio of the audience in order to be able to conclude this final segment of the program. What you saw tonight was something that really was not anticipated, but since I, as a broadcaster on radio and now on television, believe in behaving in an honest fashion and not faking anything and allowing whatever happens to happen. You saw what happened. This program was totally spontaneous tonight. I only regret that in the course of these events tonight, I didn't get a chance to allow you to get to know me as much as I had hoped. I didn't get to half of the things that I wanted to do tonight. And it was because a group of people came in here and rudely interrupted and attempted to prevent this program from actually taking place tonight. We'd like to point out to you that nobody was evicted from the studio. Nobody was forcibly restrained from doing anything they did. And I think it's to CBS's credit that this happened. I have a belief in conducting my radio program and this television program. I would much rather communicate with somebody. I have no problem with people who disagree. But I would like the opportunity to discuss it with them rather than have to receive insults thrown around by people I've never met who have no idea. I don't believe what they're really saying. Some of the insults thrown my way tonight were insults that I don't think anybody should have to hear. But yet the group of people throwing them are throwing them not at me only, but at a number of other people as well. At any rate, you get a shot and you get the most of it. You do the most with what you have. We have done a television show tonight that I think is going to turn a lot of heads, precisely because many other shows would have attempted to keep you from seeing what happened in this studio tonight. It happened. We don't hide behind it. We are thankful for the opportunity. I personally am thankful for the opportunity that CBS has given me to do this show tonight. I hope you've enjoyed it, and I hope we get a chance to do it again. I really would like to get to know you. My name is Rush Limbaugh. Thank you. Good night.